Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tick schmoo schmick. It means nothing. Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And despite there being very little rugby to speak of, that is not going to stop us getting together and talking about it anyway. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, mate.
That is Phil.
Hello, Tim.
You can hear from JB's gravelly voice right there. These two boys have had a rough weekend in Munich. Did you manage to get any rugby in Munich?
Did we get some rugby? We talked a lot about rugby.
Yeah, which is basically the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I managed to see a few of the highlights of the Super Rugby, my beloved Hurricanes.
In Munich?
On my phone in Munich.
Oh, well done.
And a few bits of the top 14 and a little bit of the under 20s, but not a lot.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much all that's been going on this weekend in rugby, in terms of on-the-field action, which we'll get to. The stories that are off the field. The big question, though, I want to ask you two, in Munich, did you manage to get any Negronis there? Did they know what a Negroni was in Munich?
Do they know about Negronis in Munich? Absolutely. Even in like small little cafes, you can get yourself a good Negroni. Well, I say good Negroni, it's all relative. It's disgusting, isn't it? We got some disgusting Negronis.
I can't quite believe the ratio of tweets about Negroni versus rugby is increasing, if
it's
anything.
One of those things, it's so annoying. Like, you put your heart and soul into talking about rugby, and the one thing people pick up on is Negronis. It's one of the reasons that we're not doing the Love Island podcast. We put so much effort into rugby, and people actually preferred the Love Island podcast.
I've had so many tweets this week from people outraged that I'm not doing a Love Island podcast.
Have you been watching it?
I've watched bits and bobs of it, yeah.
Superb. Well, it hasn't actually
It's dreadful. Well, human beings. They're awful human beings.
I say it's superb because it gives me what I need. It equips me to be able to talk to my hairdresser.
It gives you an air. What it gives you is probably an air of superiority in some respect.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't struggle for an air of superiority. Told, but yes, it's just nice to have.
A few of the tweets about Negronis this week. Ben Larters let us know that it's the 100th anniversary of the humble Negroni this year.
Yes, and my good friend, I wanted to call him Lorcan from Premium Brands, has actually sent us some raw ingredients for Negronis.
Wow.
Why do I not have one in my hand right now?
I do not want a Negroni in my hand right now.
It'd take the edge off, Phil.
It would.
It's been going around the world with this as well. Patrick Luffnan, I'm sorry if I said your name wrong, Patrick, sent us a picture of, he said, what is his first and last Negroni from America. And John, also in the USA, says, as an American and a one-and-done Negroni drinker, not sure how you boys drink them. That is the point.
Exactly the point.
You have to endure it.
Yes, it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Rob Graham was at a beer festival and spotted a coffee and Negroni-infused craft beer, which was also spotted by Lloyd Runner, who found it on tap in a bar, and
wow.
It's called a Ristretto Negroni, a coffee cocktail ale.
That sounds awful.
Wow.
Is it something even more awful than just a straight-up Negroni is awful?
There are some things which are truly disgusting, and one of those are novelty beers. Like, there was one called chocolate beer, which they served in Marble Beer House in Chorlton. Oh, it was awful. Awful.
Rob Waits, Negroni virginity was lost. God, this is awful. Yep. Hugh Coughlin, lads, I think I've sourced the most minging Negroni in the world in Budapest. So there you go.
Yep.
You weren't the only ones in Munich doing it. So, yeah, you can tweet us about rugby as well.
Yeah, please do.
At Rugby Podcast.
Please do.
What's happened this week? Alan Wynne-Jones is the subject of a rumour to be coming to the Premiership.
Yeah, there's a lot going on last week. And then he was rumoured to be Bristol, seems to be potentially, or being spoken about as his potential likely destination.
I've heard Tigers.
How do you think? You've heard Tigers.
I have heard Tigers, yeah. Mm. I mean, Tigers are throwing money around. I mean, they really want new players. They've got to have new players. I've heard lots of things about Tigers this week and last.
Is this like you heard about Tigers? Morning, there was always going to be a Monday morning meeting. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I was right about that, and they were wrong. They should have had the Monday morning meeting. They should have done that immediately. So
if they haven't already come up, if they genuinely aren't looking at Alan Wynne-Jones, JB, maybe they should heed your advice and get him. Although Lavanini and Spencer already in at lock.
That's only two, isn't it? I mean, I can see why.
Is that where they need? Well, I mean, it's Alan Wynne-Jones, isn't it? But
yeah,
in a World Cup year, is that where you need to be spending your marquee money?
Yeah,
I'm not convinced.
I don't know is the answer.
So
maybe.
I mean, he would add a bit of leadership and steel, and
it would do.
And sheer quality, of course.
So it's a funny one, isn't it? It's kind of like Sam Warburton. Everyone's, oh yeah, Sam Warburton had leadership steel, yeah, blah, blah. But he never played. Now, Alan Wynne-Jones will be playing, but the Ospreys have not been very good for a long time. They did pretty well in the Pro 12 or whatever it was back in the day. They won the thing a few times. But actually, if you look at what they did in Europe, they're basically non-existent since Gavin Henson left. Like literally, when they lost, I think was last reasonably high level game they played. Against Leicester Tigers in a semi or a quarter.
Gavin Henson left, went downhill. Coincidence? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think it is. It's not coincidence.
So where do you think would be a better fit then? Leicester or Bristol?
Wales, I think.
Can you imagine?
Genuinely Wales.
Can you imagine a Bristol pack with Alan Wynne-Jones and Dave Attwood at lock? Nathan Hughes at number 8.
Big
and that
pack,
front row.
Yeah.
The stocky little dumper truck, Harry Thacker.
Yeah.
With those big men around him. Oh, man. That'd be frightening. Steve Lansdowne's not short of Bob, so they can afford a marquee player.
Do you know where it would be a tremendous fit? It won't happen because it's just not going to happen. Go for a cut price deal, so that's not going to happen. Go to Saracens where they can look after you.
And rotate with...
Yeah.
And with Skelton, Itoji,
Cruis,
and Izikwe, and Kapoku.
Yep.
Yeah.
And his twin brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he would go to France.
Yeah, what's he doing coming to England?
I thought, but I can understand if you're at the kind of back end of your career and you are concerned about body management, you want to get an extra 3 years instead of just an extra 2 years, France would be the last place you want to go. Well, so you earn your crust out in France.
There is two ways to think about this, okay? Some people say, and like we say, you know, it's a long season, it's a grinding season, so on and so forth. But if you're going to France, there's a good chance they don't play away games. You just sack them off. Like, so I've had this conversation with players who were in France, and they were saying the Premiership, well, the season's longer, some of the games are harder, they're bigger men, but in the Premiership, you've got to play every game.
Every game matters.
Every game matters, where in France it doesn't.
To put it in context, the French season, I think it starts the last week in August, and we haven't even finished the season yet.
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it?
It's the final next weekend. We do at least know who the two finalists are going to be.
We do.
Toulouse and Clermont, who have been...
the two best teams.
From all accounts, from everything that I've seen, the two best teams in France this year.
Comfortably.
Yeah. And the two serious teams. I mean, did you see the Raqqa try this weekend? Have you caught any of the highlights? So, Raqqa and... it was Penaud, made a break on an arcing run through the centre... and offloads to Raqqa. I said it a few weeks ago, that has to be one of, if not the most dangerous wing pairing in the club game. And potentially they'll be starting for France, the two of them, starting for France in the World Cup.
Well, is Raqqa qualified now?
He is.
That'll test Bernard Laporte.
Yeah. Because he is.
Citizenship passport.
Hang on a minute.
He is a serious player.
Raqqa, Penaud. Who's the other one?
Or...
oh, hang on, Teddy Thomas.
Sure. Teddy Thomas could play.
How do you get him in the...
move Penaud to 15?
Yeah.
What about the oil slick Uge?
Yeah.
My favourite player.
Uge. Uge, don't move him to 15. We've seen that before.
I quite like him at 15. You just don't know what's going to happen, do you?
Yeah, it depends if you want France to win or lose.
Just returning to Alan Wynne-Jones for 1 second. What?
I just want to pose this question. Who would you rather have at 15, Hugo Monier or Uge?
Hugo.
Based on their two appearances at fullback for their international games, teams.
The worst ever performance I've seen from a 15 is Percy Montgomery. He's one of the all-time best.
It's such a brutal position, isn't it?
Yeah,
World Cup winner at 15 had an absolute stinker.
Yeah, yeah. Even the best do.
Yeah. It is, because you're more likely to be shown up there. Maybe outside of prop, you can really get shown up at prop.
Yeah.
But it is brutal.
Chris Ashton, playing for Toulon, I think he was against Bath last year, had an awful game at 15.
He also didn't have a particularly good game. Oh. Trying to remember what was this season for Sale. Doesn't matter.
Alan Wynne-Jones, if he does go to the Premiership, not to France, it will continue a trend of Welsh players either going and not settling or not going at all to anywhere else other than the United Kingdom. What is it with Welsh players? Why?
They don't like it, do they? I mean, and say in the United Kingdom, I mean, they've not done a tremendous job at Bath, have they? I mean, Bath would be a nice landing place for Alan Wynne-Jones. But then you look at the guys who have already been there. It's not like they've enjoyed, you know, tremendous, tremendous success.
I've been at Ospreys Man and Boy, and I want to go and try a different culture, different environment. I'm going to go to Bristol.
Yeah, Dwayne Peel. That was the Dwayne Peel line, that he wanted to experience a different culture and went to Manchester.
It's really odd.
Yeah.
Really odd.
Yeah, to your point, I can't think of anyone that really settled who's Welsh and settled
Rhys
in
Webb
France.
Isn't that enamoured with it, is he?
Do you know who did settle well in France? In fact, it made him, I think, especially in the later years of his career, Gareth Thomas.
At Toulouse.
Gareth Thomas was very good
at
Toulouse.
Yeah, that is a good shout.
That's the only one I can really think of. Jamie Roberts, Dan Lydiot, no. Mike Phillips.
Luke Charteris came back. Mm. Yeah. Interesting. You mentioned the top 14.
Yeah. Top 14 will be an interesting final. Yeah. That'll be worth a watch, because those are two brilliant teams. And they both play in the kind of tried and tested, the way that the best French rugby is played. They play like that. They play with freedom. They play some amazing offloading, some amazing running rugby. They also have that built on enormous packs. So, two very good teams.
Now, we have some exciting news.
We do?
About our live podcast.
Oh, yeah, we do.
So we've been mentioning this for a few weeks now. All the I's have been dotted and the T's have been crossed, and we can finally announce we'll have to settle on a name, but Negroni Party / live podcast / World Cup preview / JB 2020 Rugby Commission launch.
That's right.
Or Rugby Council old fart launch.
Exactly. Making rugby great again.
Yeah, we'll come up with a catchy name, but thank you for bearing with us on the announcement for this. But this is happening at Twickenham Stadium in the newly developed East Stand, so you can come along, have a good old nosy around Twickers. This is happening on Saturday the 7th of September, which is also the day the England team fly to Japan for the Rugby World Cup.
Yep.
Wow.
They'll have just played Italy the night before, and they'll be waking up and flying off to Japan. So there'll be so much to talk about. It could not be timed any better. And this is the thing. It's not just us. We wanted to be part of something bigger. So this is a whole day of rugby podcasts, rugby shows, rugby chat at Twickenham, starting at 10:30 in the morning, going on all through the afternoon with other shows as well. We want to share the stage with Will Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. He's going to be doing his show there. The Pro 14, there's going to be a Pro 14 angled show under the sticks. There's going to be various others and more announced soon.
Who else?
Who else? Brian Moore.
Yeah, there we go. Who else?
And The Ruck, The Times and The Sunday Times podcast.
So what we actually have here is a situation where Stephen Jones is opening for us. And if you want to see Stephen Jones opening for me, That's what you got to do. You've got to come to Twickenham.
Bearing in mind you are blocked by Brian Moore and Stephen Jones on Twitter.
And there's a high chance I'll probably be blocked by a few more by the time this podcast comes
out. The only way to see or hear any sort of remote dialogue between JB and these other people is going to be at this event.
I wonder if Stephen Jones will come on stage with us and I can talk to him via Phil. Tell
him. Well, he will obviously have his people there as well.
Well, Stuart Barnes is going to be there with him, so...
Stuart Barnes, bloody hell.
He can say, Stuart, tell JB this, and you can say, Phil, tell Stephen this.
I think your writing's quite good sometimes, tell him.
Now.
Sorry, I've just got a quick question for you. Do you want film credits?
Has this got anything to do with what I'm talking about?
Kind of. Do you want film credits? Is a fight, isn't it? You want to be like top left, or is it top right in the bottom?
Oh yeah,
left?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, looking at this lineup here, we are top center. So, what does that mean? Can I read into any of that? I don't want to be bottom left. No, bottom right. Do I?
I think everyone's great and everyone's welcome.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it's going to be a festival of rugby at Twickenham. So, this is the website to go to get your tickets for this, podcastlive.com. Podcastlive.com. Come along. Now, if you put us down as your preferred podcast there, it means you are guaranteed a seat to come and see us. It means you're guaranteed to see us. It means you will also be guaranteed, therefore, some complimentary disgusting refreshments during the show.
Yes, we've got liquid support.
We do. The 100th year
I don't know if they are complimentary. Maybe they are. Who knows? They'll be there.
The 100th year of the Negroni, we will have disgusting refreshments for you. Put us as your preferred podcast. Who knows? We may even get some salty kiss on hand if you really want to self-flagellate.
Yeah.
So, I imagine the way that the rest of the day will play out after all the shows is we will find ourselves a spot by the river somewhere, Twickenham or Richmond or somewhere, and we will continue drinking and...
Have a merry old time.
Have a merry old time, which we'd love to see you at. So podcastlive.com, because it's a whole day thing, tickets for this, all day tickets are £42.50. We really, really hope to see you. It should be something really special. So we're buzzing to be part of it, and we'll go to our Twitter account, twitter.com/rugbypodcast, for a link as well through to it. Exciting.
Isn't very, it exciting? Very exciting.
You said make rugby great again. Are you going to get a red Murga hat?
I'm thinking that might be the campaign style. Little badges, little red hats.
Yeah. See.
Do that.
And I imagine there will be some very special... an unusual or exciting things happening. We've already got some ideas bubbling away. But anyone that's been to a live podcast of ours knows...
exactly what happens.
Exactly what happens. I might even dust off. It's a shame. I'm still hopeful, maybe, that Jim Hamilton will be brave enough
to show up.
I think he's scared. He's running scared because he knows I'll have a drink. I'll have a pint.
I'd love to do a podcast with those boys. That'd be tremendous. Yeah. And we would batter them at a pint race.
We would. A boat race, we would kill them.
Yeah, it wouldn't be competitive.
No, it wouldn't. I've also got a very quick one. I've got a new section. I'm running this by you live brainstorm on the podcast.
Perfect.
New section for the show. We called it Stash Watch before. We could still call it Stash Watch, but it got suggested to me that we should call it Strip Advisor. And rate.
Nice.
And rate the kits. Nice. Although I have searched that on Twitter and it comes awesome. Up with this... some comes up with some rather niche exotic.
Not safe for work.
No, not safe for work.
What was Premiership Rugby's hashtag, which they got horribly
wrong?
Oh
yeah.
Like I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was my so ridiculous, but it's a hashtag basically for
it was a Premier Rugby hashtag. For something
like horny eight or something, it was like just
and it was really rude. All the responses were, it was already a hashtag that existed for something very exotic.
Yeah, it was an absolute disaster.
Yeah,
why don't you check your hashtags before you do that?
Still, the best hashtag ever was
boys playing
Susan album party.
Yeah,
Susan anal bum party.
They must have known that.
It all good. All publicity is good publicity.
Exactly right.
So, Strip Advisor, a few points of agenda then. What do you make of Glasgow's new logo?
Like it.
I don't hate it.
Cartoony. It looks a little bit like the Disney character. What is it? Or the Warner Brothers. Yeah. Looney Tunes.
with the moustache.
Yosemite yeah. Sam so or something.
Somebody yeah. has got that logo and they've taken off the eyes
and the mouth.
And the mouth. It looks awesome.
Yeah. Even if you just change the eyes, I think a bit little less cartoony and a little more aggressive.
Yeah, there is but a train of thought.
I don't hate it.
There is a train of thought on these rebrandings, isn't there? That they're appealing to a wider audience, get on board, this, that, and the other. I do not know anyone who has decided to support a team based on the strength of its branding alone. So that was the argument for Bristol Bears. Oh, I mean, actually, it has worked quite well, Bristol Bears.
But it's worked well because they play a beautiful brand of rugby.
Yeah,
it's not to do with the logo.
Yeah, no one is started watching Bristol because, oh, they're the Bears.
Yeah, they play an exciting, great brand of rugby. Mm.
So we're all fairly approving of Glasgow's new look.
Yeah, like it.
Logo. Claremont's is just classy. Have you seen it? It's just a real simplified version of their crest. It just looks like a team that has Rolls Royce players. I like it. Toulon's kit, nauseating again.
You've got to show me these kits because I can't see them.
Search for them. All right. So Toulon have got a new kit. It's again, they haven't had a good kit for forever.
Yeah,
they've never had a good kit.
Oh, they have, and they've got a good badge as well. I love their badge. Well,
the badge is all right.
That weedy little flower.
The kits that they won the three European Cups in weren't great.
No.
The ones that Johnny Wilkinson were wearing. There was like the England World Cup 2003 shirt. The collar was just a bit too high and tight.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and Toulon always have the problem of trying to cram too many sponsors on the shirt as well.
That's maybe what it is.
Now, I'm looking at some shirts. Are there any of these ones which you hate?
Yeah, so, I don't really like any of them.
I do like
Toulon
it.
Jerseys.
Yeah.
Australia and South Africa have released their World Cup jerseys.
Yeah.
You seen those?
Yeah, I have.
South African one looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like the collars on both of them, they're very simple and I like the goldness of the gold and the greenness of the green.
Great colour palettes.
Great colour palettes. The collar maybe could have tinkered with, but looks good.
Actually, the South African green is slightly off.
I think it's dark, isn't it? No, I like it for that.
Oh, do you?
I like it being a bit greener.
I like it being a bit darker, you see. Mm. I like it more of like a drab olive.
Okay. Australia have also released the Indigenous alternate kit.
Yeah, it's a nice alternate kit.
It's an improvement from the first one that they've done.
It was. Although the Queensland Red and Waratahs Indigenous kits, not feeling those at all.
Oh, I've not seen them.
I don't know, they're all right, I guess. Anyway. And the other thing is, Wasps have a new sponsor. They've got a new deal with Vodafone.
Have they?
Interesting.
Which leads me on to a very, very quick little quiz. And Phil, I would like you to write down on your laptop the answers.
Yeah.
You're going to take them one by one. JB, you can say your guess once Phil's had a chance to write it down.
Roger.
I'm going to go through each of the 12 teams and see if you know what the sponsors are for the 2018-19 season that we've just finished. Ooh. First one, Saracens, the champions. Give Phil a chance to write it. When you're okay, say yes.
It might be the heavy weekend in Munich. My mind has gone completely blank.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Saracens are sponsored by someone enormous, are they not?
Why can't I think?
You're going to kick yourselves when you hear it.
Hang on. is it Gorman?
No, it's not. Phil, I'll give you a chance for a guess.
I don't know.
Okay, both wrong. What? Allianz.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's been a long weekend, Tim. It has been a very tough weekend.
Right, so get writing, Phil. And okay. Don't say anything.
If I can think
away.
Of anything, I'll write it down.
Exeter Chiefs.
Okay. Can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay, so their arse is sponsored by that fruit, the juice.
Frobishers.
Frobishers, but the front sponsor is...
Have you got anything?
No.
Do you know it? Okay.
Southwest Telecoms?
Correct, which is the company of owner Tony Rowe.
Yeah.
Chairman Tony Rowe.
Tony Rowe, beg your pardon.
One nil to JB.
Third place, Mitsubishi. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Gloucester. Right, I've got a 13th one.
I would have at least got that
sorry,
one.
Sorry, I just said the answer.
Negronis, Tim.
Yeah. Right, okay, fourth place, Northampton Saints.
Yeah.
So Phil's got it. JB?
Well, still spot part of the longest commercial agreement between a sponsor and a club.
He knows it.
And it is not the parent company, it's Toolstation.
Correct. The parent company being Travis Perkins. Yes. Correct. 2-1, because I know. Sorry, that's what you
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Right, nice, easy one. Bath.
Phil?
You really have been hitting it hard this weekend.
I just don't know why my mind is so blank.
It's not Blackthorn.
It's not the one on the wall behind JB.
It's not that. It's not
Novia.
It's
not Novia.
They sponsor the training kit.
Do Novia still sponsor the training
kit? Okay, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I know.
Okay, JB?
Dyson.
Correct. 3-2 to JB. Now we'll go with Sale Sharks.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Phil, JB?
One of the Northwest's most prominent entrepreneurs. It's UK Fast.
UK Fast.
Lawrence Jones.
Correct. Yeah. 4-3. Next one is Quinns.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Say Maserati.
Maserati. Yeah, I've got Quinns.
Okay.
DHL.
All right, well done. Still 1 point up for JB. Let's go Wasps before they changed to Vodafone, obviously, which is for the new season. What are Wasps this season?
Wasps this season? I don't know. No idea.
No.
Yeah, I got it.
I've not got it.
Is it Land Rover?
It is Land Rover.
Ah, yes.
2 point lead opening up.
I should have got that.
You should have, but you didn't, did you?
Yeah.
Which is a shame. It's a real shame.
Bristol.
I know I don't particularly...
This is one I wouldn't have got.
Yeah, I don't particularly like looking at that Bristol kit.
I quite like the Bristol kit. Better than the previous Bristol kits.
Doesn't mean it's great.
Blue and white hoops. Should be blue and white hoops.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Full hoops.
Full hoops with a bit of red piping.
Yes.
I
don't know. I've got nothing.
Is it Hargreaves Lansdowne?
No, it's Too Good International. Too Good International.
Oh, goodness me.
I know.
No chance.
Worcester Warriors.
Phil?
It is...
Have you got it?
Yep.
Will you write it down?
It's one of two, but I can't remember which
one. I think I've got an old one here.
Yeah. It's either Worcester Boilers or Bosch. The Boilermaker, whatever they're called, beginning with B.
So I've got Worcester Boilers.
Worcester, I'm going with Worcester Boilers.
Incorrect. Green King IPA.
Oh, wow.
God damn it.
I knew Worcester Boilers was an old one.
I mean, apologies if I have this wrong and I've done my research wrong and that was an away jersey rather than a home jersey or whatever, but
yeah,
I make it
fine.
Green King IPA. Leicester Tigers.
Okay. No.
You written one down, Phil?
I have.
One then, JB.
I think Holland and Barrett.
So that's who I've got written down, but
which
I think...
Which is both correct.
Is it?
Yeah. 2 point lead with two to play. Newcastle Falcons. Oof.
I don't know. Mm. I don't need to know.
we can draw.
Oh.
If he gets this right.
So I don't. I think their shirt's made by Gilbert, but so I'm going for that.
It's Hitachi, but it's not any old Hitachi. It's Hitachi Heavy Industry.
I'm going to go for Stelrad.
It's Stelrad's correct.
It's Hitachi. It's definitely Hitachi.
You sure?
It's Hitachi, right? Because I remember watching
Stelrad.
It and thinking,
I think Stelrad's right.
I think it's Hitachi. Because I remember watching them thinking, I wonder if they sell any more diggers. Because they sponsor...
Stelrad. On it here, 2018-19. Stelrad.
Takes it down to the final one, which is soon to be Premiership again, London Irish.
I have no idea. No idea.
No.
Come on.
There's no jersey hanging up.
Anymore. No, we don't have London Irish jersey.
Unfortunately, that means congratulations, JB. That means you won. The answer was Power Day.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A great quiz. Ryan Lamb's retired.
Has he?
He has.
Yeah. He retired.
Is that because he didn't get any more job offers or because he's still, he's got years in his legs, hasn't he?
I don't know. I mean, it didn't say why he retired other than it is time to, but it's a real shame that. Ryan Lamb is, for the longest time, one of my favourite players. I love the way that he played the game. He was awesome to watch.
Who were those other? Because he was one of that sort of...
Shane Geraghty.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Those kind of never quite made it fly halves that were prodigal, majestic. Freddie Burns.
Yeah.
Shane Geraghty, Ryan Lamb.
Interestingly, Cipriani almost could have been in that pile.
You're right.
Had he not been as successful as he has been since he came back from Australia, he could have been in that list.
So... Now, it was Geraghty, wasn't it, who scored an absolute screamer.
For England.
And he was on the field at the same time as someone else as well, who was also meant to be, the next great great thing. And I cannot remember for the life of me who it was.
Probably like Van Gisbergen or something like that.
Ollie Barkley.
No, it wasn't. I'm wondering if it's...
Ollie Barkley's another one.
Yeah.
Wonder if it was Flood.
Might have been Flood.
Could have been, because. But...
Ryan Lamb and Geraghty and this crop, they were those guys, and this still happens, and I've tried to get that abolished with Cocker's Law, but one of those people where they have a couple of incredible games for their club, and everyone goes, should be starting for England, should be starting. It still happens, a lot of that still happens.
Yeah, where was he playing, Geraghty? Was he London Irish? And then went to...
London Irish and...
Northampton. But he seems to be linked with everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sure he might have even been at Bristol for a little while.
London Irish, Northampton, Brieve, back to London Irish, then Bristol for one game, according to this, in 2016-17, and then Stade Francais.
Stade Francais, really?
Yeah. 17-18.
We were talking about Ryan Lamb, but we'll talk about
Shane Geraghty.
Well, Ryan Lamb, can you name all of Ryan Lamb's clubs?
So Gloucester, obviously.
Yep.
Worcester.
Yep.
Gloucester, Worcester, La Rochelle.
La Rochelle.
Gloucester, Worcester, La Rochelle. Where else has he gone? He didn't go to London Irish or anything, did he? No.
Northampton.
No, he didn't go to Northampton, did he?
He was at Northampton. Yeah.
I'm not saying anything. You guys work it out.
I think he was at Northampton.
Okay.
Any others?
I don't remember him at another Premiership club, but I guess he...
Come on, you're missing at least one. Might be two.
Was he somewhere else in France?
Somewhere else in England.
Somewhere else in England?
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, he went to London Irish.
He did. I'm sure he did go to London Irish, but that's not the one I'm thinking of.
Definitely didn't go to Quinns, didn't go to Saracens.
Didn't go to Sale or
didn't go
Newcastle.
To Wasps, didn't go to Newcastle, didn't go to Sale.
Didn't go to Leicester.
What?
He didn't Leicester. Go to Leicester. Ryan Lamb wasn't
Ryan
at Leicester.
Ryan Lamb played at Leicester, mate.
What?
When?
I think he either went on loan or he went from Northampton to Leicester or Leicester to Northampton.
Wow.
Wow. Huh.
But he was meant to be, he was so good. The problem is he was about 5 foot nothing. But he's also in a good crop of like Gloucester players because Anthony Allen came through at the same time.
Yeah.
There's no, it's got Leicester six games.
Six games in.
More than those things.
13-14, Worcester. Gloucester, London Irish, Northampton, Leicester, Worcester, and then spent the last 2 years at La Rochelle.
Pulling the strings there, which isn't too bad, is it?
Or behind Yahya West this season.
You know what? He's had a great career.
He's had
a brilliant career.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot, very few people get to that level anyway.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. 100%. If you've played for that long at the top, it's incredible. And, like I said before, tremendous to watch too. Yeah. Tremendous.
Well, yeah, so, again, let's not get bogged down in it, but Israel Folau has opened up legal proceedings against Rugby Australia.
Yeah.
So, the background, obviously, as you understand, he was sacked by Rugby Australia. His contract was terminated due to inappropriate social media posts, which they claimed breached the terms of his contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's now suing Rugby Australia because he says the employment was wrongfully terminated on the basis of religion, arguing that the Fair Work Act in Australian law has not been adhered to.
Yeah, which is he's seeking up to $10 million in damages.
$10 million Australian. Sorry, which is about
$10 million,
just between $5 and $6 million UK, and that reflects the terms of the current contract, which had a couple of years to go. And loss of earnings.
Yep.
But I think the overwhelming feeling of this, that's probably what we've already said in previous conversations, it's just sad that this has happened full stop for he's a huge cog in that Australian team.
Yeah.
And it's a PR disaster for Australian sport.
Yep.
And it's 3 months from a Rugby World Cup. And the world of rugby is lost an unbelievable player.
Yeah.
Now, last time I checked, Rugby Australia weren't awash with cash. In fact, quite the opposite. If they're found guilty here, they're going to have to fork out, $10
million? Yeah, $10 million.
That's a lot of money not to have.
Yeah, and a lot of people have talked this week about the financial impact on Rugby Australia, who, as you say, aren't in great shape. And I've seen a lot of kind of scornful, people looking at Israel Folau scornfully for trying to sue them on that basis, that because there's these headlines saying, oh, he's going to bankrupt Rugby Australia.
So what?
Well, yeah.
So what?
There's one bit, I take that a little bit like the stories of we're not going to be able to eat lettuce if we go through with Brexit.
That's 100% true.
Is that 100% true? Oh, sorry, I stand corrected. Yeah. But also, let's remember, that would only happen, so the two eventualities of this court case are, one, Rugby Australia are found by a legal court to have wrongfully terminated Israel Folau's contract illegally, in which case he's deserving of every single penny he gets.
Yep.
And more's the point, he won't be happy with that because he'll have missed out on his career. But secondly, the alternative is they didn't illegally terminate his contract and he's going to lose out on his earnings and going to have a massive legal bill as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can get... I don't know how the Australian legal system works, but I understand you can get insurances for these sort of things. Should you decide to do so? Yeah. Anyway, so is that where we're up to with that? Is there any further?
Just one thing. His statement, which is obviously going this position, one of the things he said, and it's the headline that people have jumped on, is his statement was, no Australian of any faith should be fired for practicing their religion. And I do think he's kind of overlooking in that statement the fact that he didn't need to... The whole thing has been kicked off because of a stupid social media post. Yep. That's not part of him practicing his religion.
Well, he thinks it is. So, you know, we've gone over this a million times, but...
Well, I just think there's a couple of like factual things. Like, there's a lot that's been said about that there was a social media clause in his contract. That was widely said when it first happened.
Yeah, it was actually.
And that's wrong. There is not a social media clause in his contract. I've had a look at the Rugby Australia clauses.
It's the code of conduct, isn't it?
Code of conduct clause for all players, which says you have to treat everyone equally, fairly and with dignity, regardless of gender identity, sexual orientation, ethnicity, cultural or religious background, age or disability. Any form of bullying, harassment or discrimination has no place in rugby.
Except bullying and harassment does have a place in rugby. It's basically the whole game. Sorry to point this out, but you train really hard so you can impose your will on other humans. I mean, right, go on.
So the first clause, it says, so here's, reading into it and looking into it, here's what seems to be the thought, is that the first clause there says it's about treatment of others. Treatment is the word that's used in the code of conduct. And a lot of people are saying, well, there's no evidence of mistreatment on the field. There's absolutely no pattern of mistreatment. In fact, if you look for a squeaky clean player in terms of on the field in rugby, Israel Folau's right near the top.
Yeah.
And off the field, treatment, that word infers something tangible, some sort of action. And the thought is that a social media post that was made in general, a general in nature and amounted to expressing an idea and was not incitement, was talking about what God was going to do, there's a lot of thought that actually he may have a case that he hasn't treated anybody. He's just put forward an idea. And people put then point to the discrimination, as in no bullying or harassment in that clause. But in the law, discrimination amounts to, I've looked into this, and discrimination means generally more than speech. You can't be done for discrimination based on speech in most cases. Certainly in the UK, there's loads of judges that have ruled on cases that say you can't stop someone from expressing views. So he could have a case, but he could not. The one thing I've noticed, and sorry to go on, the one thing I've noticed is a lot of what Hugo Monnier called is, like, you can't, the amount of sanctimonious people on Twitter piping up. So I just want to, like, reserve judgment. Either Rugby Australia are going to rightly lose a shit ton of money and Israel Folau is going to wrongly be deprived of his career at the height of his powers with a World Cup 3 months away, or Israel Folau is going to rightly lose his job and get a massive, massive bill to pay as well.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, no one's really coming out of this particularly well.
And this is not about what happened, or so, it's not a view on the actual situation itself. But what really gets me is the nastiness about how much he was paid. And I think this speaks more to the misunderstanding of people thinking that they know how rugby players get paid and that they know how people manage their money. And the idea is that because he's got a large contract, he doesn't need to work anyway, or he'll be fine because he's got a load of money. It completely misses the point. You know, you will not be fine. If your income stops tomorrow, you will not be fine. Regardless of how much income you've previously made, you will not be fine. So, that's one thing which I find funny.
There's a lot of envy in that, which is an ugly characteristic. If someone's capable of earning 10 million quid a year, let them earn 10 million quid a year.
Yeah, completely correct. Do you want to talk about something else? Because I've got something here.
Yeah,
here
for sure.
Yes.
Right, do you remember when Shane Geraghty scored that try against France? Yeah?
Yes.
Can anyone name me the England team that started that day?
So when was it? Six Nations game? Was
2007, Six Nations against France.
2007.
Mark Cueto.
No, wasn't there.
No. Jason Robinson?
Was indeed there.
So we got... Okay.
Oh, so I'll read you this fearsome team.
Oh. No, let's guess.
Oh, okay.
Sheridan?
No. The pack is not good.
Tom Palmer.
George Shooter.
Tom Palmer is in there. Yeah. Oh my God, this is not a good team.
Lewis Moody.
Is not there.
Martin Corrie.
Yes, what position?
Lock.
Yep.
Lock. Tom Palmer and Martin Corrie locks.
What would Saracens do to Tom Palmer and Martin Corrie at lock, considering their options?
Lee Mears.
No.
Was it Shooter?
It was Shoots.
Shooter.
Sean Perry.
Was on the bench.
Jamie Noon.
Oh. No, the Noonanator did not make the team.
Was Geraghty playing 12?
He was on the bench.
Okay. Was Wilkinson playing?
Nope.
Flood?
Yep.
Flood. Matt Tate?
He was on the bench.
Oh, horrible.
Hugo.
Nope. It's a fairly, fairly good backline, truth be told.
Harry Ellis.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Well played. He would have been the number 8 back then. Lawrence wasn't still playing. He'd retired by then after that World Cup. This was pre-World Cup
2007. Yeah.
It is not a... mind you, these guys got to the final.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking... when I interviewed Matt Tate, we were talking about the final. And, like, obviously that was very, very early on in his England career. Actually, it wasn't. That was his renaissance. Because he started, didn't he?
In 2005.
Against Henson.
Got binned off. Went to play sevens. Came back. It was like the second coming. Then he's in a World Cup. And he must think, like... God, this is all international rugby is, just World Cup final after World Cup final.
Phil Vickery.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Interesting.
He was captain.
Not today, he wasn't. You've not named the captain.
Not named the captain.
You ready for this?
Yeah, go on then.
All right. So front row was Payne, Shooter and White. Mobile. Corey Palmer, Worsley, Tom Rees.
Oh, Worsley.
Tom Rees.
What a beast.
Tom Rees was good.
Easter.
Easter, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And then the backs were Ellis, Flood, Robinson, Tyndall.
Hold on. Jason Robinson at 12?
No.
Oh,
sorry,
11.
Sorry, yeah. Mike Katz, 12.
Yeah. Mike Katz, yeah.
Tyndall at 13.
Yeah.
Strettle and Lucy. It's a decent set of backs, actually.
Strettle and Lucy.
Pack though, oh my word. on the bench, Mears, Turner. That wasn't Sal Sharks Turner,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah.
Is he the yeah?
Was
yeah.
it Stuart Turner?
Stuart yeah. Turner.
Goodness me. Deacon, Lund, Perry, Geraghty, Tate.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'd like to make there used to be a football app. In fact, maybe I'm giving away a great idea here, but there used to be a football website where you could type in the names of players and it would pop up. I'd like to do an Egg Chasers app, which was that. It was historical teams. You give the match and people have to try and fill in their names.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, if there's an app developer that wants to work with us on this, let's do it.
I have seen that. I think Planet Rugby used to do something similar, actually.
Oh, go away.
I think.
Whatever.
Crusaders Rebels, they pumped Crusaders pumped the Rebels in the last game of the season. They looked one of the best going into the playoffs. And Jaguares, did you see them? Absolutely put Sharks to the sword as well.
Yeah.
Which is making everyone, it's making some of the Australian and New Zealand people say, it's not fair.
Phil Kearns said it, didn't he?
Buffelli, the fullback, looks awesome.
Yeah.
And the best name in world rugby, Geronimo Della Fuente. Love it, captain of the Jaguares. I saw Leguizamon still playing for them.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
No.
It must be, unless it's a different Leguizamon. I can't imagine there's two Leguizamons that play in the back row.
Well.
He started at 7.
No. Yeah, wow. That's quite something.
Yeah. But they look really good, which is ominous for England, isn't it? For the World Cup group, because Argentina always get it together in a World Cup year, and the Jaguares look like they are.
It's, very ominous for One of England, France and Argentina is not making out of the group. Yeah. And worryingly, I'm not that confident that it's not going to be England again. I mean, that would just be an absolute disaster.
I'm looking forward to it. we were speaking about this.
Downfall 2019.
Yeah, on the plane back or just after we landed. Oh. What's that noise?
Sorry. Someone's just tweeted us a picture of their son practicing his throw-in, and his dad, Robert Smith, has tweeted us a little video. He said, my son's currently playing open side, trying to turn himself into the next Dave Ward. And he's he's doing line-out throw-ins, but I can't tell. I mean, if the sound was of the neighbour's greenhouse smashing, which it doesn't appear to be. So anyway, sorry, I caught you mid-flow. I didn't mean to.
England could be in a lot of trouble here, because everyone's going to... I mean, we all assume that France will just capitulate. I bet that they don't. And then you've got Argentina as well. Argentina can beat England.
Argentina can beat England.
I don't know. It depends if England shows up.
I'm more worried about Argentina than I am about France. And France has got the talent. They've got some serious talent. They've just not played together as a French team anywhere close to their talent suggests they should be able to.
And they'll just be finishing off the top 14.
Top 14.
Yeah, by the time they get over
yeah.
there.
I think England are going to have too much for both teams, but Argentina have that incredible... Well, no, actually, they've changed. They don't appear to have a really intimidating front row anymore.
Yeah, and they can bloody run. I mean,
what they do have is loads of, like you say, ball carriers and runners and offloaders.
Yeah. So, you know, almost like Cordero is now more like the star of the Argentine team.
Will he be
like
in
that.
It?
He wasn't selected in
the end. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Some like that sort of style, rather than you thinking of like the front rows. Even like the front rows are throwing balls behind their backs and all.
Yeah.
I can't believe Cordero's not even in the wider training squad.
He didn't make the 46-man training squad.
Is that because he's injured, or is that just...
No, because he was apparently back in contention for the...
Oh, my word.
So he might not be... I don't think Juan Imhoff was in there as well. But, I mean, they've got some talented outside backs. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
So, obviously, England lose that one. But there again...
obviously.
Yeah, so it depends which England shows up. If you've got England who showed up in Dublin, you know, they can
beat
anyone. Yeah. Anyone. But then the Scotland game.
Issa and Matera in the background. Yeah. They've got some big boys.
Yeah, and if you think about how Argentina would play and potentially how France would play, you are talking a bit more offloady than, you know, just structure like Ireland have. It could be a nightmare for them. Argentina will probably play more like Scotland than like Ireland.
Yes.
So we've got all summer to preview England's downfall.
Yeah. Do you think they will downfall again, yeah? Do you think they're done?
I don't think they're done.
They're done, aren't they?
I don't think they're done.
Nah, they're not.
Biggest union in the world. They can't field a competitive team for a World Cup. Pathetic. Yeah,
but again, just I mentioned Crusaders. I've not actually got an opinion on this. Crusaders are dropping the knight motif from their badge, but keeping the name for 2020. But they're going to review the name beyond that.
Okay. Yeah.
So fine. That's what they want to do. Get on with it.
You're a private organisation. Do whatever you want.
World Cup. We haven't talked about the under-20s. Have you spied any special players?
I've watched very little so far.
Yeah, I can't get why the under-20s need 13 substitutes.
Why not?
So they just have the whole squad on the bench, like football.
Yeah, have you seen
that? They still only make seven, though.
Yeah, but like, imagine having to get changed and stuff for that. I mean, you know, if you know...
the hassle of potentially playing for your country.
Yeah, but if you want to make... It's better just to have a normal-sized bench. At least you know you're in contention.
Yeah, I bet there'll be players that go and do that thing that that people would do when you just sort of go and warm up in front of the boss just to let him know, I'm ready if I want to go on. Just do some stretches. Feel good today.
I was the worst substitute. Like, I was... Because we had interchanges eventually, and we still have interchanges now, and that has made such a difference to amateur low-level rugby, because you don't get idiots like me just jogging around the coach continually.
That's like barking in his ear.
Yeah, get me on. He's terrible. Your son's terrible.
So, if you had an engine, then that wouldn't have been an issue for you, but you...
Interchanges changed it all, mate.
They changed it all. You're one of those fast twitch players that...
Would you have interchanges in the professional game?
No.
Why? No, I wouldn't.
Because that will increase the size of players, because you'll have impact players. You'll have Trevor Leota-sized players coming on for 5 minutes at a time.
Well, they do it in rugby league.
They do.
And, you know, it just adds an extra layer of tactical nous to everything.
Makes it a bit more like a... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because...
I get what you're saying.
In the NRL, the question isn't what's the best team to start with. The question is, what's the best team to finish with? Right? So if you think about when all the points are scored... Specifically in the NRL, it's all towards the end of the game. So you want your best players on later.
Finishers. Gustard knows things.
Yep. Mm. So I'd love to see... I mean, we almost do have interchanges. If you look at, you know, how concussions are treated, and, you know, people... I'm not saying the gaming system, I don't think they are. But, you know, you can use injuries to your advantage, particularly in the front row. And we've seen France do it. In fact, we've seen France do it with concussions and with the front row.
Yeah. Get away with
it. So you may as well just codify it.
Or stop it.
No. I'm all in.
In the World Cup under-20s, France and New Zealand look ominously good again.
So, what's his name? Jordan Joseph is playing his second.
Yeah.
The monstrous French number 8.
Yeah, he's a frightening specimen.
And does he look good?
I've not seen anything. I just know he
plays. Speaking of which, has Trevor Brennan's son played much top 14 rugby this year?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Because he was their big number 8. He was playing for the...
Was he not prop?
I thought he was a prop.
A prop, sorry. He played for when they won the World Championships last year.
I don't know.
Daniel Brennan. Yeah, I've not heard anything actually since this time last year. So, I don't know.
Sale Shock's got a ton of under-20s in the squad.
England not doing that well, though.
Yeah.
Squeaked past Italy.
Yeah.
Did they get the bonus point?
I don't believe so.
Because I'm pretty sure they didn't get the bonus point, they're done. Are they not?
Well, they're requiring snookers, maybe.
I don't know. I've not been paying attention to the competition.
They have five games in the pool. No, they have four games, sorry.
I don't know. I've not been following it closely enough.
I'll be honest, right? So we've watched literally thousands of hours. To add to that, I've literally travelled hundreds of hours to go and watch rugby this season. I'm quite enjoying just turning off that tap for a bit.
I feel lost.
Well, soon enough we'll have plenty. Oh, Russia beat an Argentinian 15 in probably the most entertaining game of the weekend, 48 points to 40.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Fair play, Russia.
And was it the full Russia team?
I believe it was the full Russia team. Obviously not the full Argentinian team because they're, you know, It was they're playing for the Jaguars.
They've snuck into a club competition. Those dirty scoundrels.
Dirty scoundrels. How dare they?
True.
In terms of agenda, I don't think there's anything else really going on.
Let's wrap it up then. Let me get to bed.
Yes. Leinster celebrations.
Oh, yeah.
Phil. You can't go to bed just yet.
Fancy that.
Interesting.
Yes.
So that...
Can you summarise what happened?
Well, the way they were celebrating, it almost sounds like they won a competitive league. But they didn't. They won the Pro 14. I mean, imagine what they would have done if they won the Champions Cup. So, it sounds like they got a little overexcited.
A lot overexcited. Or certainly, at least one player got a lot overexcited.
Well, let's be honest. We've all been punched in a end-of-season dinner.
That wasn't even a Leinster player that did the punching. It was former Leinster player.
Who's still on Leinster duty. And I'm sure his contract would still be enforced.
Oh, hang on. Stan Wright has nothing to do with Leinster at the moment, is he?
What?
Sorry, what were you saying then about the player?
Yeah, the punch. You're thinking the other thing.
Sorry.
The player who punched a Leinster Academy player, knocked him spark out, was an ex-Leinster player.
Right.
He has been named. We're not...
Yes, I'm right.
Yeah, he was named.
Well, he's been named now. But no,
but nothing's happening. They're letting that one go.
I think so.
All I want to do is say, and I'm fine with that, you know, these are grown-ups. If there was a criminal thing to be answered and they wanted it to be pushed, I'm sure they would. That's absolutely fine. Let grown-ups get on with it. But it's an unedifying, ugly thing, and I would say physically knocking someone out—it's
a tricky one. Look,
you could argue that is worse than various other things which have lost people.
Absolutely. Had the pleasure of being hit at the Broughton Park club dinner only a few weeks ago, and I got the police involved straight away because it's just not an acceptable way to behave. So either or, I mean, if they don't want to get involved, they don't need to get the police involved, or if they do, they do. I just think. Yeah, it is a professional sports organisation, but there again, he's not one of their players, is he? I guess they just won't invite Stan Wright to the next get together. Mm. That would be the easy way.
Yeah.
Now the other fella,
the other fella, who cannot be named.
Can he not?
No.
Why?
Because it's only rumoured.
Is it?
Yep. Not named. So let's not go there.
Okay.
But someone is alleged to have urinated on someone else in the bar.
Goodness
that they were in.
Wow.
And it's just a member of the public.
Yeah, urinated on a member of the public.
Oh, at least do it on your mates.
Now, if you want to,
do it on your mates. I agree with that point.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, in-house.
There's all kind of things that I've seen and I've witnessed in the many years involved in rugby. I suppose on the one hand, it means we can't always have this feeling of superiority that we have such wonderful values in rugby, because sometimes we are absolute bastards.
Yeah.
And idiots.
And
boys will be boys, and when boys are drinking around other boys, they will exhibit some of the worst characteristics that boys
agreed
do exhibit.
Oh, goodness.
And sometimes it goes a bit too far.
Yes. Oh dear. Oh dear, Leinster. Bad culture. Stuart Lancaster.
Well, he has
knew it.
Pre-season, Big Stu will be getting writing messages on shirts.
Yeah, what is the culture at Leinster? I mean, I thought he was a big culture guy, no?
Well, he's not the main man, is he?
No, obviously
Leo.
Not.
Leo was having a little bit of, what's it called, sectarianism the other week for Bants.
Yes. What was it called? Yes, it was. Yeah, banter. Oh, good.
And again, you could argue that urinating on a stranger is worse than various other things which may have happened.
I would say it's bad. I'd say you need to have a chat. Well, yeah, they won't need to have a chat with him, but still, it is what it is.
Have you been watching Love Island? It is what it is.
It is what it is.
You're missing Love Island at the moment, Jay.
It's on record, mate. Series.
Series link.
It's on series link. I've got Friday's catch up on.
God.
As well.
Right.
On that note, I'm going to bed. You're going to watch Love Island. Tim, I'm sure you've got some structural steelwork to look at.
I've got to go and do the washing up in the bath.
Yeah, I'll just
don't have a kitchen at the minute.
I'll just pose you one question before we go. What is the worst stag do outfit for fancy dress for a group?
I think you've talked about this before. Yeah, we talked about this last week.
We went through this last week.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, shame.
You talked about this last week, but you were quite right that if you really wanted to punish the stag on a stag do, make him wear one of those throwback T-shirts, tour stag shirt. Do tour shirts.
Well, I've
like
seen...
the in-between.
With nicknames and numbers and stuff on the back.
I saw another one this weekend, and I thought it was absolutely genius, and I fell for it. So I'm obsessed by undercover fancy dress. So you're not... So if we're all in the room, I'm not to know that you're in fancy dress. So we've got a stag do coming up, and all we've bought the stag is a
bootcut jeans and
shoes. We're going to dress him up as a rugby journalist. No, we just bought him a Brexit t-shirt because like just a Brexit party t-shirt because like the looks he's going to get are going to be horrendous in Barcelona.
They'll love it in Barcelona. They're like Catalans are all about independence. Yeah. They love it.
So we've got that. But I saw another one in Germany, right? And this guy just came into the middle of us. Oh, we need to talk about that as well. He just came into the middle of us and started trying to sell us stuff. His mates had dressed him up as a street seller. I thought, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. As I fell for it, I was like, mate, get out of here.
Amazing.
Yeah. And he's like, I need the cash. Just buy this. Good.
That's very, very good. One.
Yeah, we met one of the most interesting men I've ever come across. And I say interesting loosely. We had a tour guide, right? And this guy, Lenny the evil tour guide, he calls himself. He hits you with objects. So like he's got a little horse's whip thing.
Yeah, right? Got a couple of different whips.
Yeah, like my horse is sore today. It is sore. Right? So he whips you every time that you you interrupt him. Now, you've got to be a
But you don't interrupt him when you've got a snooker ball in your mouth with a bit of leather with leather straps around it.
He met his match coming up against JB this weekend.
Did he?
Yeah.
Mate, it was a good tour. It was very, very fun.
It was very good fun. There were times where it was uncomfortable.
Was JB saying harder or something or what? How did he meet his match with JB?
Just JB was constantly, constantly mouthing off.
He's got a...
I don't believe that.
It was... You've never seen anything quite like it.
It was
brilliant.
He walked us 100 yards, right? And we just dragged beer. At the end of it, I thought, he's just walked us 100 yards for 35 euros.
And told us a bit about a few marches and demonstrations.
But he's obviously got like all these jokes, which you've got like from years and years and years. And it was good. It wasn't like your normal tour. I'd recommend it. I'd recommend it. It's completely different to anything which you're going to do.
He earned his money.
Yeah.
He earned his money on Saturday.
Allegedly, he earned so much money. He's got 32 houses. That's well over 3 million quid's worth of houses. And 15 AR-15s. And a 200-acre ranch in Texas.
Something didn't add up.
Something didn't add up, yeah. Yeah. But tremendous fun.
Sounds like he was trying to woo someone back to his dungeon.
You kept on saying, like, how many prostitutes are buried under your patio?
On that bombshell.
Let's leave it there, mate.
Right. Podcastlive.com. Tickets are available right now. Come and see us. Make sure you put us as your preferred podcast to be guaranteed a seat, guaranteed watching us along with everyone else, and guaranteed to get your disgusting refreshment at our live show, Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We'll post the link right there. And you can get in touch with us with rugby-related stuff, or if you just insist,
pictures of Negronis.
Just pictures of Negronis.
Yeah, Negronis are fine.
One and done with Negroni. If you haven't tried one yet, try it and let us know how disgusting it is. We already know. Right. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
Have a nice sleep, Phil, and let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.